Here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 28th of March, 2011. The birthday of the novelist and poet Russell Banks, born in Newton, Massachusetts, 1940. His father, plumber, alcoholic, left when the boy was 12. He was the first in his family to go to college, won a scholarship, went to Colgate, dropped out after a couple months. He wanted to fight with Castro's army in Cuba, made it as far south as Lakeland, Florida. Went back to college at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Russell Banks, much of whose work focuses on the realities of the working class life, and who has a collection of toy school buses from around the world. The school bus, a powerful image in many of his stories. The Sweet Hereafter tells the story of a school bus accident that devastates a town. Same bus turns up in his book Rule of the Bone. It's also the birthday of Russell Banks' hero, Nelson Algren, born in Detroit, 1909, grew up in Chicago. It was in his book A Walk on the Wild Side, set in New Orleans, that Algren gave his three rules for life: never play cards with a man called Doc, never eat at a place called Mom's, never sleep with a woman whose troubles are worse than your own. It's the birthday of Iris Chang, born in Princeton, New Jersey, 1968, grew up in Champaign-Urbana, her father a theoretical physicist, her mother a biochemist. Iris Chang studied journalism, wrote for the New York Times, the AP, the Chicago Tribune, worked very, very hard, oftentimes not eating or sleeping while she was working. Her first book, Thread of the Silkworm, about a Chinese physicist. And then she set out to write a book about the war crimes committed by the Japanese army in Nanking against a Chinese village. She threw herself into the project. The book was called The Rape of Nanking, The Forgotten Holocaust of World War II, came out in 1997, sold 500,000 copies, followed it with another, The Chinese in America, A Narrative History. She was researching a book on the Bataan Death March when she had a nervous breakdown. She was deeply affected by the nature of her research and committed suicide not far from her home in San Jose in November 2004. And it was on this day in 1941, Virginia Woolf committed suicide. Shaken by the German bombing of London, which destroyed her home, living in Sussex, she wrote in her diary, "Shall I ever write again one of those sentences that gives me intense pleasure?" She could not write, and she wrote a note to her husband, "I feel certain that I'm going mad again. I feel we can't go through another of those terrible times, so I am doing what seems the best thing to do." And a little before noon, she walked out with her walking stick and her overcoat, with a rock in her pocket, and drowned herself in the river. Here's a poem for today by Michael Heffernan, entitled Awake. I lay down in my bed and went to sleep, but only after worrying that the pain that came up in my chest, seemingly deep inside it where my heart was a plain signal that I might not survive the night and could be lying cold beside my wife when she got up, as she does, with the light, to start another day in her own life while mine was over, unbeknown to us, including me. As I was worrying, I went to sleep and woke up in 4 hours to use the bathroom. Birds had begun to sing. 2 dogs were barking. Nothing perilous had come to find us. What was ours was ours. A sonnet by Michael Heffernan entitled Awake, from his collection At the Bureau of Divine Music, published by Wayne State University Press and used by permission here on The Writer's Almanac, produced by Kathy Roach and written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.